Chapter 33. Scott Cahan and Jesse Stone sat across from each other at the Italian restaurant on 53rd Street, alternating their gazes between the menu and the man on the opposite side of the table. Hale Hunsicker had wanted to be a part of their conversation, but Cahan advised against it, saying that it wasn't a good idea for him and Jesse to be seen together in public before the week of the wedding. Hunsicker didn't like it, but had agreed not to come, if it helped keep Jen safe. Jesse got the sense that Hunsicker was a man who usually got his way, through charm or money or sheer force. He gave Cahan props for both his willingness to say no to his boss and for having enough credibility with the man for Hunsicker to back down. Jesse knew that the system was rigged for the rich and powerful to get their way. He'd learned that lesson as a cop and detective in L.A., a town that churned out rich and powerful people by the dozen. And it wasn't any easier in Paradise, where the old money and town elders constantly held the loss of his job over his head. Not that he was given to buckling under the pressure. Buckling wasn't in his DNA. "I noticed you didn't order a drink," Cahan said.
"Uh-huh.
What's up? Not in the mood for Black Label today?" Jesse didn't look up from the menu. "Don't need sources in the intelligence community to find out about my drinking. I'm sure Jen's recited chapter and verse about my problems to your boss." Cahan laughed. "Actually, Mr. Hunsicker's intended basically sings your praises. I think it annoys the piss out of him."
"Jen is good at that.
I spoke with several of your former LAPD robbery-homicide colleagues." Now it was Jesse's turn to laugh. "I'm sure they gave you an earful. To a man, they said you were the best until you self-destructed. They said they couldn't trust you to have their backs anymore." "I'm surprised you didn't just break into my shrink's office. It would have saved you a lot of bother and money." "Dix? I tried scamming him into releasing your files to me. He didn't buy it and told me to go fuck myself. He can be a pain, but he just scored big points in my book. Look, you want to know something about me? Ask me." "Okay. You still a drunk?" Cahan was goading as much as he was asking. Jesse nodded. "Technically, I guess so. You never stop being one, even if you stop drinking." "But you're not drinking today, trying to impress me?" "Nope. Last time I did something to purposely impress anyone was in A-ball."
"And what was that?"
"I bet the other shortstop on the team I could hit the first baseman in the glove with the ball 3 times in a row with my eyes closed."
"What happened?"
"The other shortstop bought my meals for a week." Jesse smiled. He hadn't thought about that in years. Maybe not since it happened. Now it seemed as if it was almost someone else's memory.
Cahan looked away from Jesse and back at the menu. "We have a common purpose, but I need to know whether I can depend on you, whether you'll have my back. You would have the same concerns in my shoes." Jesse didn't like Cahan's tone, but he had a point. They did need to trust each other.
"Fair enough."
After the waiter came and took their orders, Cahan asked, "So, you're 100% sure Peepers is our target?"
100%. We've got him on surveillance leaving Gino Fish's office right after the murders."
"Then why the sketch? Why not bring me a photo of him?"
Jesse said, "He was disguised."
"Then you're not 100% sure."
"I'm sure."
Cahan opened his mouth to argue, but thought better of it.
"Does Peepers know you know about him?"
The million-dollar question. Jesse wasn't sure of the answer. That was the thing with Peepers. You could never be sure what he wanted you to know. Jesse was going to keep that to himself, but he needed this guy, for better or worse.
"I don't think so. My guess is he wanted me to know, but then changed his mind when things went wrong in Boston.
He's a planner, but he's also quick on his feet. He can improvise, and he's not afraid to take big risks."
"How big?"
"First time we crossed paths, he set off a smoke grenade in another town's police headquarters, waited until the building was evacuated, and then broke into their property room in order to locate a camera that might have had his photo on its chip.
We might be able to use that, Kahan said.
Jesse was skeptical. Maybe. Then he shifted gears. We both told your boss not to call out the cavalry. But I'm uncomfortable operating on someone else's patch without giving them a heads up, especially if we have to call on them.
Agreed. The wedding and most of the pre-wedding events are taking place in Vineland Park Village. I know the chief there, Jeb Lockett. We can trust him to be discreet.
Can you arrange a meeting between us before the wedding?
But,
Jesse put his right palm up. You know your world. I know mine. Lockett will want to speak to me. How about next week?
It's a big risk, you coming to Dallas before the wedding week.
A risk worth taking. Besides, Peepers can't be everywhere at once. He won't be watching the cops. He'll be looking for a change in Jen's routine or an obvious change in your procedures. That's why you can't do obvious security checks on employees or the caterers, the valets, the country club employees, or...
You think? Kahan made an angry face.
Give me credit for knowing my job, too.
Sorry.
One last question, Stone.
Shoot.
Mr. Hunsicker was too preoccupied by all this for it to register. Maybe it will occur to him later, or maybe not. But how long have you had the photo of your ex with the message about the praying mantis?
More than a year.
And this is the first anyone's hearing about it? Why?
If you don't already know the answer to that, Jesse said, then I shouldn't give you credit for knowing your job.
Kahan smiled, looked over Jesse's shoulder, and said, "Food's here."